in the minor prophets of the Bible. It's called Majoring on the Minors. There are 12 little minor prophets in the back of your Old Testament. Today we're going to take the very last one, Malachi. But next week we have one more we're going to do. And that's going to be Joel, J-O-E-L. Joel talks about events to come, serious events that are going to unfold in the future. And things like the tribulation period and interesting things. I think that we'll learn a lot. But right now today, the last little book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And let's check it out. Malachi today. Can you say Malachi with me? Come on. Malachi. And I need you to help me today. And I'm excited about the message. I do thank the Lord for Roger, the Dodger Johnson, who helps us with our message and puts it up on the big screen. And I believe it'll be a blessing to us. If you have your Bibles, guess what book we're going to be in? Somebody tell me. If you have a hard time finding it, find Matthew and just back up one. Amen? Matthew and just back up. And there's Malachi tucked right in. It has four chapters. A little old book. A lot of good stuff out of it. Boy, don't you love these hands saved. Maybe you're feeling today hopeless, helpless, hurting today. I want you to know God loves you. Did you hear me? God loves you. He wants to hold you. He wants to help you. You might be like one man I talked to in the first service. He said, I've just been a bad person, Pastor. You know, I said, we all have. That's the news here. Some of us just don't think we have. But our righteousness is as what? Tell me what the Bible says. As what? Filthy what?
Rags.
So if you feel like you're a bad person today, that you've really screwed up, let me tell you something. You're a prime candidate for God to save you, to change your life, for you to come back home to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Prime candidate today. If you're in the right place today, we love you to pieces. Let's move. The title of the message today, I've titled it, You Say You Love Me. 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 You know, you ever said that before? Well, you say you love me. You know what I mean? Boy, you can use that all kinds of different ways. You say you love me. You say you love me. Yeah, that's the title of it. You say you love me. Let's take the book out. Malachi 1:1, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Let's check out some stuff about Malachi real quick. The book of Malachi, it's the last book in the Old Testament. We already said that. We can check that off. Next, his name means my messenger. He's a messenger of God. And he has wonderful things that he's going to say. We can't get into all of it. It's four chapters, but full of stuff. We just had to sort of pick some. This is the only place his name is mentioned in the Bible. So if you're looking for Malachi, like, where'd Malachi go? He's just in Malachi. That's where he's at. Boom. So we don't know a whole lot about him. It was written around 440 B.C. I don't know if you've been following the calendar, the timeline we've been doing. We've been like 600, 700 B.C., 650, 612, and then kaboom, 440. Israel was taken captive by the Babylonians. Remember that predicted by Micah? Remember that? It wasn't the Assyrians that took them over. They were the terror of the Western world, but it was the Babylonians. It was said 100 years before the Babylonians even became a great power. God's word is true. God's word is true. Boy, we've been seeing that, haven't we? Unbelievable. But now we skip some time. They've been captured by the Babylonians. 7 years in Babylonian captivity. Now they're back in the land. And they've been there for about 100 years or so. So Malachi's writing this book to these people. He's often compared to Moses. Moses wrote the first book of the Old Testament. Malachi wrote the last. That's a no-brainer. The second one, Moses mentioned the coming Messiah, Savior, Genesis 3:15. He said, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The first reference in the Bible to the coming Messiah, Moses put it there. Malachi mentions the Messiah in Malachi 3:1. Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delighted. Behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. So some similarities. Moses often spoke of God's love for his people Israel. Malachi confirms this. Also, Malachi is compared to the book of Revelation because that's the last book of the New Testament. And let's look at a couple of things about Revelation. Revelation speaks of the grace of God and judgment to come, and so does Malachi. So just some stuff right off the bat about Malachi. Now let's go with the message today. You say you love me. Can you help me here, please? You say you love me. You say you love me. Where in the world did we get that title from? Let's look at it. Verse 2. Malachi 1:2. I have loved you, says the Lord. I have loved you, says the Lord. Now, isn't that great? If somebody says they love you, wouldn't it? It's great to hear God loves you. Isn't that great? God loves you. Isn't that great? Wouldn't you just love to hear God just say, I love you? He has said it. He said it in His Word. He said it with His Son. He's saying it through me today. God loves you. You can't get away from the love of God. God loves you. He says to Israel, I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? You say you love me. That's what Israel was saying. God says, I love you. And they go, you say you love us. You say you love us. That's where we come up with the title. I love you. And Israel says back to God, you say you love us. You say you love us. Now keep going. God knew their heart. And He says this, was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, or I have loved Israel. Let's go with the message. Here we go, Raj. We're moving. God loved Israel. Let's keep moving. God said to Israel, I love you. And they responded, where have you loved us? Where have you loved us? Can you believe they would even say that? Now see, we know the Old Testament. We've seen it. Now we don't know it perfectly by any means, but you can see the love of God to the people of Israel in the Old Testament, can't you? I mean, from Egypt, the whole nine yards, to feeding them, to caring for them. They turn on Him. He forgives them. They come back and forth, the prophets. He loves the, you know, the people like nobody's business. And they question His love. Let's keep going. And let me tell you why they questioned it. And this is very important. You might say, why are we studying this book? Because it's important. Here we go. They were still bitter about Edom. And you might say, oh, you lost me, preacher man. They were still bitter about Edom. And here's what we mean. Put it up. Do you remember the violence of Edom against Israel that we mentioned in Obadiah verses 11 through 14? When we started this little series, do you remember when we put Petra up? Say, some of you remember that, yes or no? Remember that? And do you remember what the Edomites did to the Israelites? You remember what they did? Let's read it one more time. And this was a few hundred years prior. And they're still bitter about it. Let's look at it. The little book of Obadiah, again. In the day that thou stoodest, the Edomites, on the other side, in the day that the strangers carried away captive his forces, and foreigners entered into his gates, and they cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of them. But thou shouldest not have looked on thy brother in the day that he became a stranger. Neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. Thou shouldest not have entered into the gate of my people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. Neither should you have stood in the crossway to cut off those that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of distress. Now, what are we talking about? God says, I love you, but all they can remember, it's how can you say you love us when you let Edom do what they did to us? Here's the nine things they did. Here it is. They stood on the other side when we were being assaulted. They looked at their brother Israel as he became a stranger, as he was taken captive and carried away. They rejoiced at the destruction. Yeehaw, baby, they're going down. Four, they spoke proudly of the distress. They deserve it.
Look at them. Yeah.
They deserve it. You ever said that about somebody? They deserve it. They deserve it. God help you. We don't look at other people's afflictions and calamities as Christians, as brothers in Christ, and take any glory out of it. Amen?
Amen.
You understand that? They did. It hurts, man, when that happens. Number five, they entered the gates of Israel with the enemy. Can you imagine? Their brother. Six, they looked at Israel on their affliction. They looked at them as they were being afflicted. Seven, they took Israel's substance. They took their stuff. They took their stuff as they're being invaded. They're part of it. And Edom took any opportunity they could to always help attack Israel. Always help attack Israel. And they took their stuff. They stood in the cross. So what does that mean? As they were running for their lives, trying to get away, the Edomites were there saying, you're not going this way. So they were captured, they were murdered, they were raped. Nine, They delivered them to their captors. The ones who did come their way, they delivered them back to their captors. What am I saying? God says, I love you. A couple of hundred years has passed. They still aren't over. They're bitter. They're bitter. Does this ring a bell? Happens sometimes, doesn't it? Say, you ever had something bad happen to you? It's been hard to get over, yes or no? Hard to pray, hard to understand. How could you let this happen to me, God? Let's keep moving. Edom would not be completely destroyed until 70 AD. The Nabataeans did take over around 300 BC, but this was around 440 BC. And so, they just don't understand. They don't understand, what's happening? How could you say you love us? And Edom did what they did, and they still get by with it. You know? Let's see what we can learn today. God continues talking to them. He knew their heart. Here's what he says. He says, I hated Esau. I laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom says, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will tear down. I'll throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And we've talked about that. It happened, didn't it? Second, did it happen? Petra lies today. The biggest ghost town ever. It has never been rebuilt. I've been there. Many of you have been there. It's huge, but it has never been rebuilt. God laid it waste, but they can't see it. They can't see the big picture. You ever been there where you can't see the big picture? They couldn't see the big picture. What was going to happen? Verse 5, and your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Let's see what we can learn for ourselves. So please hang in here with me. I know we're trying to get somewhere. Here we're coming to it. What's the point, Clark? Get to the point. It is. Here's the point. God said, I love you. But the bitterness over what the Edomites have done to them. Can you say those words? Say it with me. Kept them. One more time. Kept them from experiencing and embracing the love of God. Now here's where the rubber hits the road. This is something major and it's minor. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to take these little minor prophets that nobody even reads or understands a lot. God, boy, there's something in there. Here's the something. Let's look at it. Let's dig the something. And here it is. Is there something keeping you from experiencing the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord today? So, is there something keeping you from experiencing the love of Jesus Christ? God says, I love you. Jesus Christ died for you. But still, you stay right where you are. You stay lost. You haven't repented, asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. What is it that's keeping you from doing that? Is there something that's keeping you from that today? Maybe you're away from God. Maybe you're away from God because somebody offended you or ticked you off or some preacher back home or whatever. You don't understand. But something's keeping you from accepting the love of God. When I say God loves you, God loves you. Do you recoil? Say, when I say God loves you, you go, something inside of you go, that man don't know what I've been through. He'd say that. He's a preacher man. I remind you, just in case you're visiting, my mother was murdered 11 years ago. Okay? I say that to say I know what it feels like to hurt. I know what it feels like to wrestle with these kinds of things. God loves you. Well, if you love me, how could you let that happen? Are you like that today? Are you hearing me today? God loves you. Let's keep moving. Has some bad experience or hurt that you've endured, does it come to mind when I say God loves you? God loves you. And that hurt. God told him, I love you. Edom came to mind. Maybe it was abuse or neglect from your parents. Maybe you're here today and that's what you faced. And that still hurts. And you just had a hard time getting over it. And I'll tell you what, I ain't saying you're going to get over it. Okay? But I am saying this. That has nothing to do with God loving you. Did you hear me? God loves you anyway. And He wants you to come to Him. He wants to be that father, that mother that loved you, that will care for you, not abuse you. How about this? Maybe you've been betrayed by a family member or close friend, and it just absolutely hurt. Maybe the person you loved with all your heart walked out on you. Walked out on you! And you just can't handle it anymore. I could, God love me! And let this mess happen in my life. Number three, maybe it's the death of someone you dearly love. Someone you love more than life itself. And they're just gone. They're gone and they're not coming back. And you tell me God loves me? Well, if God loves me, let it happen to me. That's what I'm getting. You say you love me, God? Four, maybe it's a disease that's killing you right now. They've told you it's over. It's had a few months. I want to remind you, something's killing every one of us. Did you hear me? Something's killing every one of us called sin. We're all one day going to die. The key is, while you're in this life, let's get it straight. Let's get it right. Accept Jesus as your Savior so you don't die the second death. Amen? Amen. And don't go to a place called hell. Come on. But that might be happening. Maybe something is in your life and you're feeling that way. You might say, where does God love me today? And I'm going to just say a couple of things. Satan doesn't want you to accept the love of God. Can you say that with me? Say, come on. Satan does not want you to accept the love of God. That's Satan's plan. When you're not accepting his love and you're thinking these things, and I understand where you're coming from, but that, boy, that's Satan. Boy, he's working his plan. And I want you to see, we try to anytime we talk about the devil. This isn't proper in English, but anytime you're in fellowship church, we talk about the devil on the big board. Do you see how big his name is? So, in little letters, ain't it? We do that on purpose around here. He has no power over you. Listen, Jesus Christ, if he's your Savior and Lord, you can have the victory. That's what he is. He's little nothing, just like that. He wants to screw your life up. He doesn't want you to hear the message of the love of God today, but God loves you today. Satan wants you to dwell on past hurts and disappointments. The more you talk about it, the more you bring it up. I know what it's like, friend. I have had some hurts. You can't do the ministry and not have hurts. And I try not to bring them up. But boy, Satan gets me sometimes. I go bringing them up again. And feel like a dirty, stinking pig after I get done. No good comes out of it. Because he wants me to dwell on that slop. Next. He wants you to continue to question God instead of believing God. Did you hear me? See, this is it right here. Right here. This is it. See, he wants you to keep questioning God. What did he say to Eve? Hath God said? Do you remember that saying in Genesis? Hath God said? He's all about questions. Instead of you accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, did he really die? How could he really die? Did he resurrect? Can he really resurrect? Question, 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 question till you bust hell wide open. Are you hearing me today? That's Satan's plan. I know that's a little tough preaching for some of you, but that's the bottom line. And that's what I feel like I've saw in this little book. Let's keep moving. Hebrews 11:6. Here's the deal. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You can ask questions till the cows come home. But do you have faith in Jesus Christ? You're not going to please God. Well, I've been a good person. I picked up my neighbor's mail. I fed their dog last week. Big, hairy deal. That's not faith in God. That's faith in you. You won't please God without faith in Him. Sometimes you've got to quit asking the questions and believe. Amen? Believe. It's amazing what happens when you believe. He that comes to God, what's that word? Pull that word. Must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Satan wants you to question God. That's what I saw. That's what I learned. Instead of accepting God's love and rebuke, they questioned him. I want you to see this. Let's keep living, Raj. In this little book, look at it. They kept questioning him. I love you. Wherein have you loved me? I'm trying to tell you something. If you keep asking questions, and my wife, we talked about this. Questions are a good thing, aren't they, baby? When you're talking to the Lord. And you can take questions to the Lord, can't you? But if you just keep on questioning, 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 and never have any faith, that's not right. That's not good. You're never going to grow. You've got to start believing. Believe your Bible. Believe God. Look at what they did in this book. Look, Malachi 1:6. A son honors his father, God says. A servant his master. If I be your father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts, unto you, O priest that despise my name? And you say what? Can you say that with me? Wherein have we what? Despised thy name. There's another question. Let's look at it, Rod. Let's keep moving. God said a son honors his father. God said a worker honors his boss. And there's some of you here today. Listen. Listen, the God of heaven who gave his son to you on Calvary's cross, he loves you to pieces. He gives you the breath you breathe. But you have honor for your daddy, and that's good. Your mom, that's good. You have honor for your boss man. You don't show up late. You work hard. You put in a fair day's work. You're honest. But tell you, when it comes to God, you don't do doodly squat. That's a southern word. Alright? And God says, whoa, hold the phone here. You know, where's my honor? Let's keep looking. But they kept asking questions. God was trying to deal with them, but they kept throwing questions back in His face. I don't know about you. I can't stand to talk to somebody like that. If I'm trying to tell them something, and they just, but why? For long, you better duck. You know what I'm saying? But why? Because I said so. Hush. Y'all understand where I'm coming from? Here's God, I love you. Well, you love us. Pop! Yeah? And then, you know, you despise me. Where have we despised you? They kept throwing questions back in His face. Let's keep going. Where have we despised you, they said. See there? Old priest that despised me. Where have we despised you? Look at these different questions. Let's just go through them real quick. Where have we polluted you? Look at this. You offer polluted bread upon my altar. You say it. Where have we polluted you? Let's look at another question. Boom. Wherein have we wearied you? He said also, behold, what a weariness it is. Oh, you that have snuffed at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn. So they said this. They said, what a weariness it is. You know, where are we wearied? Yeah, we've wearied you. All right, keep going. Another question. When shall we return? Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say what? Where is our return? This ain't going to do any good. Keep asking all these questions. Keep moving. Where have we robbed you? Look at this. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. And you say what? Say it with me. Where have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Boom. Again. Another one. Question after question after question after question. What have we spoken against you? Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? I know that probably some of you think I'm crazy about now. But come on. I'm trying to make a point. Here it is. Keep moving. This is one of the biggest parts of the whole message. Answering God's questions with questions is no way to get answers. Can you say that with me? That might be country talk or something. I don't even know if it's good grammar, but it's good preaching. Here we go. Say it with me, would you? Come on. Answering God's questions with questions is no way to get answers. One more time. Come on. Answering God's questions with questions is no way to get answers. I'm all for asking questions. It's no problem asking questions. But let me tell you something. If God's asking you a question, you just might want to hush and answer the question. Are you hearing me? Like today, if I ask you, if you die today, do you know you'd go to heaven?
Well, you know you'd go to heaven?
Yeah, I know I'd go to heaven. But how about you?
Is there a heaven?
Answer the question! You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. It's driving me crazy. This ain't even happening. It's just happening up here. But anyway. Let's keep moving. Romans 10:17. Here's what the Bible says. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the... not hearing you ask questions. Faith doesn't come when you ask the questions. Asking questions is okay. But if that's all you're going to do, keep asking questions. Asking questions, and never get to the place where you're going to believe you're going to be up the creek without a paddle. Ain't going to fly. Are you going to believe God or not? Are you going to believe God or not? That's what I see in this little book. Are you going to believe God or not? To me, it's a disgrace that God said He loved them. And they said, where did you love us? And that wasn't enough. He tries to keep getting them, and they keep throwing these questions back at Him. A couple of things. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or haven't you? Have you done it? Or have you not done it? That's a question that you should answer and not try to ask another question. Your eternal life depends on that question right there. That's an important question. Do you hear me? That deserves an answer. Let's keep moving. Psalm 37:5. Believing. Let's just talk about believing and how important it is. Look at this. You can trust God. Did you know that? You can trust God. I understand. In life, if you've been burned, if you've been hurt, I know it's difficult to trust at times. I understand that. But listen, I want to tell you something. You can trust the Lord. You can trust Him. Believe in Him. Psalm 37:5. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. Let's look at this scripture. Acts 8, 36 and 37. This is the story of an Ethiopian eunuch. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain place of water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders you to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou what?" Question, God. What? "If thou what? Believe with all your heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." He didn't say, "I question that he's the Son of God." And he was baptized. Amen? I'm talking about believing. Even though if you've been hurt, believe on Jesus Christ. Acts 16:31. This is Paul talking to the Philippian jailer, I believe. And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and your house." It didn't say, "Question if there's a God, you might go to heaven." Believe in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Romans 10:9-11. We quote this often. If you'll confess with your mouth and if you'll what? Believe in your heart that God hath raised you from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man what? Believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Watch this. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him should not be ashamed. Amen. I'm here to tell you today, if you keep asking these questions, to me it just sounds like you're ashamed. When are you going to stand up? When are you going to say, "I believe in Jesus Christ"? When are you going to put it down? "I nail it down." And because the devil's never going to get off your back as long as he's got that opening. Believe in him. Let's keep moving. Alright, we've talked enough about that. Now let's flip the table this morning. Let's watch the table flip. Can we do that? Can we do it one more time? Let's make the table flip one more time. Let's flip the table. Here we go. Here it is. Here's the deal. God said, I know, just bear with me. God said, "I love you." And they said, "Where have you loved me? You say you love me." But let me say something to you. We're going to flip that old table. This book flips the table on these people. You say you love me. This is God saying it. And I want to say it to you today at this church. You say you love God? You say you love God? What does this book tell us about loving God? There's a test you can take to show how you love God. And it's found in the book of Malachi. God flips the tables. You say you love me? Well, I love God. I love God. Bless God. Amen. Let's see if you love God. Ready? This is what God's saying. Oh, we can ask questions a lot. Yeah, question God, question God. You know, God's just saying, okay, we're going to flip that old table. Let's see if you love me. And here it is. Right in the book of Malachi, God says, here we go. Honor me. Honor me. If you honor the Lord, you show the Lord that you love him. What am I saying? Friend, I think you ought to honor your mom and your daddy. Friend, I think you ought to honor your boss man. But I do not think you ought to honor your mom and your daddy and your boss man more than you do the King of Heaven. You hear me? Are you hearing me? Ooh, that's ugly, preacher man. If it's funny, you can meet every whim they ask you for. You can do everything with them, man. But come to God or God's work or God's house. Listen, well, I get around to it when I want to. That is an evidence right there that you don't love God like you say. And I know that's hard preaching, but it's the time that we stop asking questions and get something done in our life. We ought to honor the Lord. And that's what God's saying in this verse. If I be a father, where is my honor? Honor me, and you show that you love me. Look at another one. Give me your best sacrifice. If you say you love me, but you don't honor me, you say you love me, but you don't give me your best sacrifice. Here's what they were doing. They were offering polluted bread upon the altar. Stuff that was really no count. We offer it to God. Where have we polluted you, they asked. Look at verse 8. You offer the blind for sacrifice. Is that not evil? If you offer the lame and sick, is that not evil? Offer it down to the governor. See if he'd like it. See if President Bush would eat that mess. That's what he's saying. That these priests were offering weak and sickly and sorry, stale mess to God. And God said, okay, I'm loving you. Go, where do we love you? God said, we're going to flip that table, all right? Right now, let's flip that supper. You say you love me? Look at that pitiful old mess you offered me. Governor wouldn't eat that. You wouldn't offer that to him. What does the Bible say to us about giving God our best? Romans 12:1-2. Maybe you know it. If you know it, try to quote it with me out loud, can you? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Bodies, a living what? sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is a good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You know what? We show we love God by how we sacrifice. We offer our bodies a sacrifice. We give, we serve, we work, we do. That's flipping the table. Let's look at another one. This is good stuff. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, I didn't do too well on the test when I took it in my office. I'm like, oh my gosh. You know? But isn't it good to see it though?
Amen.
I'd rather be challenged than to be told how great I am.
Amen.
I want to go up. I don't want to just keep falling down. And this pulls me up. Be a godly example to others. That shows that you love God. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did not turn away from, and did turn many away from iniquity. Verse 7. For the priest's lips should do what? Keep knowledge. And they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. The way we live our life is a way that we show God we love him. Did you understand that? We don't live this Christian life so you can look at me and say, oh, look how great he is. I live for the Lord so that you and others will say how great God is. You understand? That shows that I love him. It's not about keeping a list of rules or so I can look good. That's not it. It's about being a godly example so that he can get glory and praise and he can see that I'm serious about living for him and loving him. Very important. God says, you say you love me. Next. Not much longer. Hang in with me. Treat people equally. You show that you love God by treating people equally. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all people, according as you have not kept my ways, but you have been what? Partial in the law. Let's keep looking. Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our Father? And I'm going to say something. I don't want to be ugly. But I think a lot of us folk, listen to me, a lot of us folk, we saw the looting in New Orleans. And since it was black people that were seeing on the television, it sort of helped us with some racist feeling or bigotry that we had. See, that's what I told you. That's what I've always believed. Let me tell you something. If that would have happened in an area where there were poor, struggling white people, you'd have probably been seeing the same exact thing.
Amen.
And don't by your racism and your bigotry somehow, you know, try to do that. When you are that way, you're not loving God. That's evil. It's horrible. The biggest racist I ever knew was my stepdad, who shot my mother 6 times. So if you want to know what I think about a racist, I think Zippo. You hear me? We ought to treat people not partially. And I did it this week. I had to repent this week. I was in a place of business this week. And I was talking to the average folks that's just working in the place of business. And all of a sudden, the big boss man walked in. And all of a sudden, and I felt myself wanting to please him or treat him differently than I did these people. But you know what? I got a grip real quick. And I sat down there just like I meant to do, and I didn't do it. He no better than those other folk, is he? No! The book of James says you don't say to the rich, sit here, to the poor, sit down here on the footstool. We show that we love God when we repent of those kinds of things in our life, and we say, I was brought up that way, horrible, I hated it. But I've had to repent and change, and God, that shows that God that I love him. It's more important for me to be what he wants me to be than to be what I was. Amen. Do you understand?
Amen.
It's really important. I got this out of this book. Next. God says, be faithful to your spouse. Did you know you show God you love him by loving your wife and loving your husband? And look, I've been married 22 years coming up November. And honey, I love you to pieces, but it ain't been no picnic. Did you see that? It's your fault. But you know what? Listen to me. Here's what the Bible says. And this have you done, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, weeping with crying out, insomuch as you've regarded not the offering anymore, received it with good at your own hand. Look at the next verse. You say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of your youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. I show God I love him by staying with that lady.
Amen.
And she really shows God that she loves him by staying with this man. Can we praise the Lord today? All right. It's not just about, well, we just don't get along as good as we used to. I mean, if you start to see the big picture, wait a minute. It's not just about me feeling good anyway here, is it? I mean, we're a family. We need to get over whatever it is. We need to work through it. Why? Because there's a bigger picture here. God has blessed us. We can honor His name by staying steady. You understand where I'm coming from? You show that you love God by loving your spouse. Look at what Peter says. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to your wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life. Watch this. That your what? Prayers be not hindered. God takes it very seriously, our relationship with our husband and our wife. So much so, He wants to hear your prayers. Because He says, you're praying to me, and you might have all your ducks in the row, but that duck ain't clacking right there, baby. And that prayer ain't getting answered. Because, you know, you're not showing me that you love me, because you're messing this up. Stick with it. Stay with it. Next. We're almost done. Give to the Lord cheerfully. We show God that we love Him by giving to Him cheerfully. Will a man rob God? How many knows Malachi for this verse? Can I see your hands? Now that's the verse the preachers preach, lady. Right there. Amen. Here it is. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. For you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me herewith, says the Lord, if I might open you the windows of heaven, and prove and pour out a blessing on you, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. When you give, you show that you're saying you love the Lord. God's saying, you say you love me? That's why fellowship, we really mean it. I don't want you to be deluded into thinking that you love God by popping some kind of offering in the offering plate that hasn't been done in the right spirit. I don't want to aid and abet you in your relationship that's gone south with God. God wants these things to happen in our life. And if we can't give cheerfully, I believe God really says, keep it. It's important. Or if you listen, I don't want to be ugly again, but I'm going to say it. You know, if you put a buck in the offering plate, and I love Jesus, now, if that's all you give, I understand that. But you know who you are. I know my own situation. But if you put a buck in the offering plate, God's saying, you say you love me? That ain't even a third of a gallon of gasoline. You love me? That won't get you to Venice. Do you hear me? Hard-hitting stuff in this little book. Here's another one. Well, 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let it be, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves what? Cheerfully. That's what God loves. Next, and this is, I think, the last thing, have a heart of gratitude. God says, you say you love me, then have a heart of gratitude. Look at what they said. You have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is it that we've kept His ordinance, that we've walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? It's a wonder He didn't just zap them all dead, right? Aren't you glad He didn't do that to you sometime? Amen? You know what? When we're thankful, when we're grateful, when we count it an honor to serve Jesus Christ, that shows Him that we love Him. That we love Him. We're done today. Malachi 3, 1 through 3. Let's read these verses and we quit. The end of the book, towards the end. Behold, I'll send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. Who does that sound like? And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to His temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, He shall come, says the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appears? For He is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. And He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. God loved these people. Look at another verse. Chapter 4. Behold, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. I just end with this thought today. Malachi, 400 years before John the Baptist came, he predicted he would come. Isn't it crazy? You remember what John the Baptist said? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Malachi said it would happen like this. Malachi said Jesus Christ would come, and it did. And here's the crux of the message right here. Put it up, Raj. Instead of questioning God, listen to me. Instead of when God speaks to your heart, instead of going,
well, what about this? Well, what about that? What about this?
It's all right to question God sometimes. I understand that. But that's got to stop. Instead of questioning God, look at this. Believe me. Believe me. Can you say that with me? Instead of questioning God, believe me. That's what I learned in this little book. God does love you. Take it to the bank. The big question is this. Do you love Him? Let's pray for that. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this little book. And Lord, I know it's a tough little book. It's obscure somewhat. And Father, I just pray that we made some sense. And I certainly pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will take this message, this word, will help it into the minds and hearts of people here today. And Lord, you know my heart. My heart's been changed and challenged through this little book. I want, when you look at my life, you to know that I love you. You to see in my life that I love you. Lord, I sure ain't perfect and make all kinds of mistakes. But that is my heart. I want my heart to say that I love you. And I want my actions and my ways to show that. And I'm confident that many, many, many people in this room want that very same thing. Bless this message to our heart. Father, for that one or many here that continue to question you, your love, I pray today they'd stop it. And they'd just take that step of faith today and believe that you love them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.